Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Aikman is intercepted by Sam Mills.
Steve Smith is going to go all the way. Panthers win in overtime.
Newton steps up, goes for the end zone. Olsen, touchdown. Brian Burns to the house.
This one is picked again. Intercepted by Boston.
Bridgewater. Throw into the end zone. Touchdown!
Samuel still on his feet inside the five to the end zone. Touchdown! What a play!
And it is caught for the touchdown by Moore.
And in the foot race, McCaffrey to the end zone.
Keep pounding on three. One, two, three.
Keep pounding.
Welcome to another episode of The Roar podcast brought to you by Blue Wire. And it is finally NFL draft week. And unfortunately, John has some personal stuff to attend to, but rest assured he will be on the podcast helping us review Carolina's first round and second and third round selections on Thursday night and Friday night. And then we'll do a full recap either Sunday evening or sometime early next week. But to help us do a live mock draft to lay out some of the scenarios that Carolina could be presented with, I have my good friend, Danny Guy. I'm sure everyone on Panthers Twitter knows him. Goes by Danny G underscore 13. Danny, what's up?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Yeah, it's been a while. We used to do pods all the time. And I remember like my first like kind of not really joined, but when I really came on a Twitter, you and a few others were like the kind of the point man for Panthers Twitter as it relates to like the NFL draft. I think it was like the 2013 draft. And ever since then, I think you and I kind of see the draft pretty similarly. We have we know which players to kind of always choose and which how they can fit in with this organization. So yeah, it's really good to have you.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I don't know about you, but it feels like this draft season has lasted forever. I think it's because everybody is either in lockdown or we didn't get a combine. All the coverage has been a little bit weird. It's been harder to get testing numbers, so it's been a little bit harder to get into it, first of all, but second of all, it just felt like it dragged on forever too.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm the same way. It's weird too, because last year I felt that, despite being in peak lockdown, like the entire country, we kind of went through the process a little quicker. But this year it's a little different too, because a lot of the states are opening up. So I don't know. I agree with you. It's been long overdue. So I'm really happy it's this week.
Yeah, same. I don't think it helped that for like a month and a half, everybody woke up on Panthers Twitter waiting to see if Deshaun Watson was a Panthers player. So
yeah, it's been a crazy day, crazy ride, I should say, for this organization, because I'm not even sure. I'm sure some people have already forgotten that they were coaching this Senior Bowl. But
yeah, that is true.
It is what it is. So, I mean, this team is going to be faced with a lot of interesting scenarios. And I know some people don't really like mock drafts. I don't really care for them either, but I always start paying attention to them like at least 2 weeks before the draft, because that's when a lot of the insiders start putting them out. And those insiders are individuals who are getting their information directly from teams and around the league. So if I see a mock like in January, like I'm going to read it just to see like where certain players are ranked. Like I think Daniel Jeremiah was one of the first to kind of, you know, signal that Rashawn Slater might go ahead of Penei Sewell. And there's a bunch of other names that he kind of touted like as first round picks. They might not go in the first round, but it helps me kind of get an understanding of who this player is. So then when I go back and watch them, I have like some sort of idea of where they're being portrayed. But this week, especially, we had Peter King come out with his annual mock draft. Albert Breer had a bunch of nuggets in the Monday morning quarterback this morning. I think that there's, oh, and I should say Joe Person, who does a really good job. He had a few, he had a final seven round mock too. And I think there's like momentum for three different scenarios. And I think the first one is them potentially trading back. But that's also contingent upon, like let's say a Jamar Chase or a Kyle Pitts, or even, I don't know how they feel about the tackles, but I think that they would certainly entertain trading back if Pitts, Chase, or maybe even one of the quarterbacks that they really like is there. And the other scenario is, again, one of the quarterbacks, whether it's Fields or Lance. Supposedly, I mean, you're hearing a lot of noise about Fields. Jonathan Jones, his mock was released today, and he said that Carolina really likes Justin Fields. I heard Rappaport say it. And then finally, there's the one that everyone wants. And I'm going to group, even though they play different positions, I'm going to put Surtain, Horn, Slater, and Sewell as like one tier of players. Like these players qualify as an immediate need for the team, but like the value of taking them in the top 10 is probably worth it. So I think those are your three scenarios. You have the trade back, you have one of the quarterbacks, or you have one of the four players, Surtain, Horn, Sewell, or Slater.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how this shakes out, because Fitterer from day one has said they're kind of open to do a deal and move back. And I think that's maybe the route we're heading to, especially if we see four quarterbacks go off the board in the top seven picks. You know, there's been a lot of some nuggets around New England trying to target Justin Fields and get up into the top 10 to get him. They've started popping up today. And like you said, about 14 days to 7 days prior to the draft is really that time where you want to start listening to all these insiders and what they're saying. So it wouldn't shock me to see them make that move. It wouldn't shock me to see teams try to jump Carolina and Denver to get one of those quarterbacks. It's going to be wild to see how it plays out, because then you've got the Mac Jones thing. Like if he truly goes three, that's kind of where the draft starts for me, because that's going to continue to push really good prospects down the board further. If a guy like Mac Jones jumps into that three spot instead of a Lance or a Fields that was always expected to go in the top 10 to begin with.
Yeah, definitely. So the way we're going to work through this mock is we're going to use PFF's simulator, which I think is a really cool tool. And you know, the way it works is we're going to go through a couple different scenarios. Okay. And we're going to list out some of the players that are available on the board when Carolina is picking. So I just ran through it again, tried to make it a little less random this time, just so it looks like these players are actually going to be available. And this is going to be scenario one. And right now on the board for Carolina is Danny. You can see my screen, and just to let everyone know, I'm sharing my screen with him. But we'll go through some of the options that are available here and what direction Carolina potentially going. Okay, so currently this pick seems to be in high demand because we have 27 trade offers for it. I don't expect there to be that much. But for this one, let's do the trade for this pick. But let's just go over some of the players who are on the board. So the top three or four prospects that I think Carolina would be interested in are Jalen Waddle, Micah Parsons, Trey Lance, and Rashawn Slater.
I don't believe they're going to take a linebacker this high. I think that they feel pretty good about Perryman, and obviously they really like Shaq. Waddle, I don't know if they will. Again, he's kind of like a wild card to me. I don't think they'll do it, but like if they trade back and he's still there, then maybe. If Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts are on the board, I think it's without question they're going to heavily consider it. And I think Pitts, it's like they're rushing that card into the podium. But two guys that I think make sense here, Rashawn Slater and Trey Lance. If you were, what direction? I mean, we want to go off of what we feel, but at the same time, I think that bringing, you know, what the Panthers would do makes a little more sense. So what do you think about this scenario right here?
Yeah, so I think this is the perfect scenario to run first, because I think this is a scenario where Fitter is answering every single phone call and making calls himself trying to move out of this pick, because I think they've lost out on what they consider to be their elite prospects in Sewell, in Chase, in Pitts. They've lost out on the quarterback that they seem to covet that's realistic in Fields. And if you're listening to the people who have an ear on the organization, it doesn't seem like they're that high on Trey Lance. And you can argue that all you want and argue that analysis and that evaluation. And I certainly will be one to do that, because I think Lance is worth that pick. But it doesn't seem like that's the route they're going. And then I believe it was Jonathan Jones this morning on his mock mentioned that Slater, they see him more as a guard. So maybe you're thinking that's not a value pick at number eight. So I definitely think they would be trying to move this pick potentially to a team like the Chargers, maybe to if the Patriots wanted to get up there and get Mac Jones, if they coveted him or coveted Lance, that's where they would be trying to move this pick, I think.
Okay, so let's try to go through some realistic trade partners here. And so this will be our trade scenario. We're looking at scenario one, we will trade it. So I was listening to a report by Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. He did say that the Patriots are interested in moving up. He did, however, say it's because it's for potentially Justin Fields. But for the purpose of this exercise, we're going to assume that Fields is off the board. So I don't really mind. Now, I've also heard chatter that the Vikings and Chargers might be interested in moving up for one of the tackles. I've also heard in the past week or so that the Eagles are also interested. I don't think the Cowboys or Giants are going to trade up. So from 12, 13 to 14 or 15, which team I think makes a lot of sense to trade back? Personally, I think the Eagles, because they have so much capital, but I'm willing to listen to the other options.
I think the Eagles, if they want to come up and get a Trey Lance or get maybe Jalen Waddle, because of the capital they have, I agree.
All right, so let's try to go through this. So we're going to give them pick eight. They're going to give us pick 12. Okay, so they have two third-round picks, and they also have a second. I don't know if they're going to trade a second. Well, let's just see what like is a maximum we could get out of them. So we have five chances, we have five chances to make this happen. So let's try to make sure that we get fair value for each team and try to make it realistic. Obviously, they're not going to give us like four first round picks.
Right.
Okay. So what do you think is fair here?
I think if Carolina was willing to do like a three next year and eight, I think if you could get their one, their two this year, and then their two next year, I think that's a good deal for Carolina. And I think it's fairly realistic for Philly as well.
Well, it works. So what we're getting here is, I think people need to understand you're not going to get the type of value that the Dolphins or whoever got when San Fran moved up, because they moved up to the top five. That's just
right.
And we're just moving back here four spots. I think a relevant trade here is a couple of years ago, the Buccaneers, they traded back with the with Buffalo when Buffalo went up to get Josh Allen. And I think this was a similar compensation. It was 2 seconds. And I think Tampa drafted a Vita Vea that year. We're getting 37, and we're also getting a second round pick in 2022, which is actually the Indianapolis second round pick, which is probably going to the Eagles will probably be a little less annoyed by giving up that pick because they probably expect Indianapolis to be pretty good. And this gives Carolina that second round pick back that they traded away for Darnold. So let's resume the draft here. And what do you know? Rashawn Slater is still on the board. And the interesting thing is that because we traded back one extra spot, we're still ahead of the Chargers. So the Chargers, they can't really like move ahead of us because I'm sure they really want to tackle.
Yep. Yeah. Panthers are sitting in a good spot here. They can take Slater. They could take a guy like Darrishaw, who I know you're a fan of, listening to one of the previous episodes of the podcast. Or they could go a completely different route and take a corner like J.C. Horn.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling like. And Matt Rhule was at his pro day too. I don't know. I feel like Horn would be a pretty sensible selection here. I don't know.
Yeah, so the way I've kind of looked at this draft, and I know you think the same and a lot of people think the same, this is a really good draft if you need an offensive tackle. Yeah, there's elite guys at the top, but the depth of this class is pretty irregular in terms of previous classes. And the drop-off between the top guys and the next round of tackles, the next crop of guys, isn't that significant that I feel like you can wait till 39 and get your tackles still.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I think just looking at these guys that are available, we'll go through them. Barmore, Mac Jones, Dersa, Trevon Mehring, TCU safety, Bateman, and Jeremiah Owusu-Kurmo. I don't think Carolina's going to be interested in any of them this high. I do know that I do think that they like Mehring, the TCU safety. I'm sure they like Dersa too. Barmore, I really don't think is going to be in consideration as much as I do like him. They just signed Daquan Jones. They're a pretty decent contract. So let's go with J.C. Horn here at pick number 12. I like him a lot, actually. I think he's like a pretty elite athlete. He kind of, he has pretty much all of the skills you're looking for out of a really good corner. So I'm not surprised if they trade back and they landed him. Okay, second round, again, we're having a lot of trade offers available. We have two picks now. We have a pick now and then Bengals and then back to Carolina. So let's just go through the top five or six guys on the board. We have Elijah Moore, Walker Little, Dylan Radunes, Nick Bolton, Elijah Molden, Jameen Davis, and Ronnie Perkins. There's a few other guys that are here, Landon Dickerson, De'Ami Brown, Jabril Cox. But for here, I think it's going to present a pretty interesting scenario. So we have the really good cornerback that this team has been missing for a while. But now you can attack these next two picks or you can trade back. It doesn't matter. But you have an opportunity to get a skill player, which they do need. I'm surprised that a lot of people aren't making a bigger emphasis on this area. I mean, I know they signed a couple guys, but I don't really consider them to be game changers. And you have a couple tackle prospects. I think that if you can walk away with getting Elijah Moore and then one of these offensive tackles, whether it's Little or Radunes, I mean, you're sitting in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, we talked about it when you mentioned at the top of the draft that if Chase was one of those guys on the board at eight, you don't think they would move at eight. And I agree completely. They made an emphasis to say that they've scouted a ton of wide receivers. And I think it's because they fully intend to come out with a wide receiver that they feel good about being one of their foundational pieces of their offenses for the future. There's no guarantee that Robbie Anderson's here long-term. He only signed a three-year deal that he's already played 1 year of. We don't know what's going to happen with DJ Moore. Expect the fifth-year option is going to get picked up or they'll work out an extension, but there's nothing final on that yet either. So, I mean, for me, it's real easy. The pick's Elijah Moore. He's sitting right there. He helps you replace what you lost with Curtis Samuel, and he adds a bit of dynamicism to the offense that you lost with when he went to Washington. So that's just an easy – the board fell the right way.
Yeah, and Moore is like he's a carbon copy, not necessarily of Samuel, but the way he was utilized at Ole Miss, he was predominantly in the slot. He did a lot of jet sweep, screens, slants, exactly how Curtis Samuel was utilized. And we, I mean, people could debate who was better. I personally think maybe Samuel is a little more explosive, but I think Elijah Moore is a really good athlete too. He's a 4.35 40. I mean, 36 inch vertical and 10 and a foot broad. And I mean, his short shuttle was 4 seconds exactly, which is outstanding. So yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you here. I don't expect him to be there, but for the purpose of this exercise, he is. And sometimes the draft presents surprises, and this is one, and we're running the card in here. So that's Elijah Moore. And now the next player taken was a linebacker. And again, now we have a couple opportunities, again, a lot of trade opportunities, but we also have two tackles, Little or Radunes. I think both are fine players. I don't have an issue with them. I mean, Christensen is another guy that I kind of like. He played pretty well. He's an older prospect though. But what's your sense on some of these tackle prospects that are available here?
So I tend to like Radunes a little bit more than Walker Little. You know, as many people who have talked to me on Twitter know, I am a USC fan. I follow the Pac-12 pretty significantly. Walker Little, he was solid at Stanford, but he doesn't have the kind of athletic upside that you see out of really good swing tackles in the NFL today. So I think I'm going to go with Radunes. He's a little bit more raw, because he played at North Dakota State. He hasn't really been tested as much, but I mean, we've seen guys come out from small schools and make transitions fairly easily into the NFL in recent years. So I feel comfortable with taking him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I liked him a lot. He was really good at the Senior Bowl. And I thought he looked really well. I think he got like Practice Player of the Week award. So yeah, let's go with the Radunes here at pick 39. So now we have a little bit of a wait until pick 73. But I think then like we addressed, not only did we take the best player, but I also feel like we, took care of some needs as well. And when those two align, I think it's really kind of useful. So now we're at pick 73, again, plenty of trade opportunities, but sitting in the third round, because this PFF kind of algorithm is a little weird, we're going to see some situations where we have linebacker Jameen Davis and safety Jamar Johnson, who I think are really good prospects, still on the board. I don't expect Davis and Johnson, or maybe Johnson will last, but I expect Davis to be gone by like pick 40. So I'm going to, we're just going to disregard Davis for this one, but everyone else that you see on the screen, we'll go through those next five players: Jabril Cox, linebacker. And then we have Jamar Johnson, Ardarius Washington, Calvin Joseph, Kendrick Green, Tay Gowan, Josh Palmer, Milton Williams, and Brady Christian. But in general, like, what are you looking to really attack here on in the third round?
I think one of those other, maybe don't call it a need, but one of those areas that they do need some help is still in the defensive backfield at safety. You talked about mooring in the first round. I know Jamar Johnson's been a guy that they've put some time into as well. Ardarius Washington's an interesting prospect. I think with Jamar Johnson sitting on the board here, I'd have a hard time passing up him and adding him to the backfield that now has JC Horn in it as well as Dante Jackson, and feeling pretty good about that backfield when they mix in Jeremy Chinn too.
All right, so let's do that. And now we're going to go to pick 113. And again,
there's Jameen Davis still there.
Yeah, this thing is crazy. So now we have some of the same players still on the board: Calvin Joseph, Kendrick Green, Tay Gowan, Josh Palmer, Milton Williams. Again, I certainly don't expect Williams, Joseph, and Davis to be available. I don't know why. Even Christensen, I don't expect him to be available. But looking at the board here now, I'm just scrolling down a little bit. This might be a good time to, get either a backup running back or a tight end, or maybe even like another interior defensive lineman. I really like Bobby Brown. I think he's a solid prospect, kind of Texas A&M, they've been kind of churning out these, pretty interesting defensive line prospects in recent years. Or Tremble, again, a guy that a lot of people have as tight end two in this class. So maybe this is a pretty good opportunity to take a flyer on him. And like I said earlier, backup running back Khalil Herbert could be that guy. If not, then we can maybe wait until the fifth, sixth round. What are you thinking about here?
I really like Tremble. He's sitting right there, and I feel like he's going to be one of those prospects that the Panthers probably have a high grade on, because he can play in the passing game. He can stretch the seam a little bit. He's not a great route runner or an extremely explosive athlete, but he can be a receiving weapon. But he, more importantly, he helps with the interior of the line blocking, and he can help accelerate that running game. They lost a big piece in Manhurts in that this offseason. Manhurts wasn't a factor in the passing game, but he was really relied on in the goal line situations, and Tremble can kind of fill that role.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So now I'm moving to the fifth round. They have three picks remaining. I'm still seeing the same names. So let's just try to scroll down here and make it a little more realistic. We'll start here. Simi Fehoko, the wide receiver from Stanford. I actually think he's solid. And then they have Tyree Gillespie, Justin Hilliard, Rashad Wildgoose, Aaron Banks, Jonathan Cooper, Cornell Powell, DeMar Hamlin, David Moore, Derek Barnes, and Jonathan Marshall. Just my opinion, I think this would be a very good time to take a flyer on David Moore. I really liked him at the Senior Bowl, and he went to Grambling State. Again, pretty small school, but we're talking about fifth round. So looking at the development guy, maybe year two, he can kind of plug and play. I know they signed a couple interior offensive linemen, but he would be my choice. A couple other guys I would like here. Jonathan Cooper is a pretty solid edge, but I'm not sure how well he fits into Carolina's defense because he's more of a three-point stance guy. And then, besides that, I like Powell, but again, we already addressed receiver, but if you want to double down, I'm fine with that. And then just scrolling up here, Hainsey is a pretty interesting player, the tackle from Notre Dame.
Yeah, so the names that jumped out to me on first glance are Banks, David Moore from Grambling, and then Jonathan Marshall is the other name that jumped out to me because I like love him. The measurables of Jonathan Marshall. It didn't always measure up, and it didn't always match the production on the field, but I love the way he tested during the draft process. So if you're looking for a guy that can maybe offer some help in the interior of the line, and offer some pass rush, that's where I would go.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to take Jonathan Marshall here. Now, we're in the sixth round. These picks, like, I'm not going to say they don't matter, but usually, like, teams picking this late, after, especially after the fifth round, you're not really looking for starters or rotational players. You're looking for core special team players. So here is, like, where I look at corners, safeties, receivers. But if you feel like you see it, maybe a backup running back that you like, that we could do that, or we could just wait for undrafted free agency. But for me, that's kind of like where I'm looking at here, just to look for guys that can potentially be special team contributors. And so just a few players that are on the board. So let's try to narrow this to cornerback, safety, wide receiver. And just for good measure, we'll keep running back in here. So up, you have Puka Williams, Shakur Brown, Sean Davis, Elijah Mitchell, Jameen Sherwood, Bryce Thompson, and Ramondre Stevenson. Do any of those guys kind of stand out to you? Sean Davis stands out to me. I've seen him here and there, but I don't know much else about him.
Yeah, the two names that jumped out to me were Sean Davis and then Jacob Harris, the wide receiver from UCF, just because, again, I really like the height, weight, speed combination that he offers. But, with getting more in the second round, I don't think it makes sense to really double up on a wide receiver. So I think Davis, a guy that can come in, play special team snaps, learn from the guys on the roster, and then potentially be a starter or a rotational player that you bring in sub packages later on, is a good pick.
Yeah, the interesting thing with him is that, I'm reading Dane Brugler's kind of scouting report, and he says that Harris is kind of a developmental prospect, but that he brings special teams skill sets, because he's going to, he actually has him at list as a tight end, but he thinks that because of just his overall athleticism, because it's so rare, that he's going to be a difference maker in special teams. So let's go in that direction. I'm with you there. So now we're looking at our last pick here, which is pick 222. And this is their comp pick. And again, I'm just looking here at the board. We're not filtering it for any position. We're looking at Drew Dolman, Ramondre Stevenson, Noah Gray, John Bates, Chris Brown, O'Brien Goodson, Kenny Nwangu, and Michael Mennett. So a combination of defensive interior, centers, halfback, safeties, you name it. I'll keep scrolling down. You know, if there's anyone you see that kind of really sticks out, let me know, because we're kind of grasping for straws here in the sixth.
Yeah, round. Yeah, absolutely. Remind me and correct me if I'm wrong, but we did not address the interior of the offensive line again, did we? Because we skipped over David Moore.
Yeah, I do think we skipped that.
Okay, so I think I would go with Dolman, the top ranked center on the board. He can play guard too. So I would go there and really kind of address that interior. Made some signings there in the offseason, and you've got some pieces there, but I don't think anything's really set in stone.
So overall, they give us so that's essentially, let's just go through the picks again. So we traded our first, our pick 8 to the Eagles for pick 12, 37, and a round 2 pick in 2022. Then we drafted J.C. Horn, Elijah Moore, Dylan Radunes, Jamar Johnson, Tommy Tremble, Jonathan Marshall, Jacob Harris, Drew Dolman. I really like this class. And PFF, they're always pretty generous with their grading, so they give it an A-. But I mean, in general, if Carolina like walks away with like, I'll try to skip some of these day 3 guys, but if they walk away with Horn, Moore, Radunes, and Johnson, first 4 picks, I think that's a win.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a really good class. Made the best of a bad situation where all the elite guys on their board probably fell off early, and you know, you still get a corner with the upside like Horn. That is a desperate need position. You can't be mad about that.
Yeah. So that's scenario 1. Again, I'll repeat it for everyone. That's going to be a trade back from pick 8, and the final players that we have in our draft class are J.C. Horn, Elijah Moore, Dylan Radunes, Jamar Johnson, Tommy Tremble, Jonathan Marshall, Jacob Harris, and Drew Dolman. So now let's go with a new mock. This will be scenario 2. Again, everything is on the table. If you want to trade, we want to trade back, trade up. It doesn't really matter. But let's see how the board falls now. Pretty similar, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's about exactly the same.
A player that I do think they like is Patrick Surtain.
Yep.
But for the purpose of this scenario, let's give them the offensive lineman first. So you don't think they're going to take Slater that high?
Based on some things I've read, it seems to me that they feel like Slater is a better projection as a guard. And I don't think they would take a guy that they have projecting into the interior as high as 8. Could be completely wrong on that. I think Sewell's the lineman they covet.
Okay, that's interesting. So I've heard some different reporting on that too. So it's always kind of interesting to hear different viewpoints. So let's make another trade, unless you feel like you want to draft a guy here. We could draft a guy here and then maybe trade back at 39, pick up more day 3 picks.
So you talked about it at the beginning, but Jalen Waddle is a guy who really interests me, and I feel like it's a guy that would interest them as well, because again, it gives you that explosive element to your passing game. Yeah, let's take Waddle.
All right.
Let's have a little fun.
Might as well. These are scenarios that, again, we're not the ones getting paid big bucks.
Right. I don't think this would happen. I think it would have to be Chase for them to take a wide receiver at eight, but.
Okay, so now we're at pick 39. Again, we have plenty of trade opportunities here, and I feel like if they're going to take a stay, if they're going to, I think they're going to definitely trade down either at 8 or 39. It depends which one. So if we're going to have them stay there at 8 and take Waddle, let's see what we can get back here at 39, and depending on which team wants to move up. And I think, again, similar scenario, I don't think they don't want to move two back. Maybe like 6, 7, 8 spots, maybe.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, with this new function I put in, everyone is offering a trade back, but because we have this option, we're just going to mess around with it. So let's say, oh man, Patriots.
Sounds good.
Okay. So, oh, wow. They actually have an extra third round pick. So let's see if we can get 46 on 96 for 39. How does that sound?
Yeah, that seems fair.
That's
up an extra
third round. I mean, getting a moving up 7 spots to get a third round pick, I think it's pretty good. So that trade did go through. So now we're moving back to 46. And I think, look, I knew those two tackles would be on the board. But let's see who else is there. Let's see inside a well, and then let's see what's cornerbacks. Yeah, I mean, this. So essentially, what I did is I filtered out for offensive tackles, interior offensive linemen, and cornerback. So again, we have Little, Radunes, Dickerson, Holland, Miners, Robinson, and Creed Humphrey. I think they want to tackle at 39 or in the second round.
I think they have to take a tackle at 39 if they don't take one at 8, personally.
All right.
I don't think they can be in a position where either they're counting on Greg Little or they're penciling in Cameron Irving as the starting left tackle.
So let's go with Radunes here. And then our two third round picks, and maybe we can do double down on secondary. So again, we're going to go with Dylan Radunes here over Walker Little. Not a big surprise. Okay. So let's do this. Not necessarily safety. Well, maybe. Okay, so Jamar Johnson, again, not surprised that he's available. Ardarius Washington, Calvin Joseph, Tay Gowan, Thomas Graham, Benjamin St. Just are some of the top guys here. So I'm thinking in the third round, now that we have two-thirds, we go corner safety or safety corner. I don't think Thomas Graham is going to be available at 96. I do think Jamar Johnson will, but I do like Graham. Gowan, I think this is way too high. Joseph is a guy I do like too, by the way.
Yeah, I really like Joseph. No surprise for me. He's a former LSU corner, and I, you know, just something in the water down Louisiana with their corners and wide receivers. But I like his measurables, and I like the way he plays receivers, especially in press situations. I would absolutely take Joseph at 73.
All right. And then knowing this algorithm, I'm 90% certain Johnson's going to feel available. So now Johnson's available. Disregarding, well, player, I think safety is most likely going to be positioned here in the third if we're doubling down the secondary.
Yeah.
So let's just go there. And then again, fourth round, I'm going to try to mix it up here. I'm open to anything. What are you thinking here?
Well, let's take a look at running backs, because we do have a running back that only played 3 games last year.
I do. Khalil Herbert's a pretty fascinating player to me.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. It jumps out right away. Khalil
Herbert, 220. That's kind of low. Same with Kylin Hill and Chuba Hubbard are ranked pretty low. Just kind of
weird. They are.
But let's do Herbert, because I think he is a pretty good complimentary back. So that's Khalil Herbert in the fourth, and 3 more picks remaining. Okay, so what positions do you think they can get here late day 3?
I think day three is probably going to be looking at the interior of the offensive line, interior of the defensive line, maybe tight end if they haven't addressed it before then.
Okay, Tommy Tremble is still on the board. I don't think he's going to be on the board, so we're just going to disregard him for this one.
Yeah, I agree.
Briley Moore, I've never really heard of him. Gray and Bates, I think, are late round guys. Can get in the sixth.
Yep.
So let's see what we can do with one of these defensive linemen. Milton Williams and Kendrick Green, again, I don't expect him to be on the board. Same with Bobby Brown. So let's start here with Banks. Banks, Moore, Marshall, Tonga, Dahlman. Do you want to go with Banks here?
Yeah, in the interest of mixing it up a bit, let's go with Banks.
Okay, cool. So now I have two picks here in the sixth round. Try to look for one of these late round tight end prospects. You know, coincidentally, I think both of them were actually at the Senior Bowl. Oh, not that. Gray or Bates. Do you have a preference on one? I think both look pretty good at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I like Gray. I think he tested a little bit better. And when I'm talking about day three picks, and I think you kind of lean on this boat as well, you look for the athletic traits too,
yeah,
to see if you can turn them into a better all-around football player, but they already have the athleticism.
And last but not least, let's see if we can get an edge rusher here just to see if, you know, I feel like they're kind of deep there. So let's maybe another corner, nothing really special there. That doesn't matter to me. Yeah, I mean, it's Chris Brown, O'Brien Goodson, Mennett, Patrick Jones. I guess he might be a decent flyer. He didn't test well at all. So I'm not sure he's going to be of any interest. Let's go with Teron Jackson. He had a pretty good year for Coastal. And I know Joe Person also added him as a potential guy they'd taken the sixth. He's an edge rusher from Coastal Carolina. So it's kind of a keep a little bit of a local angle here for that final pick. Again, these picks, more often than not, they're not going to matter. And I think that their undrafted free agents are probably going to be a little bit more prioritized. So this is scenario two. We took Jalen Waddle, a pick eight, and then at 39, we traded down to get 46 and 96. Then we drafted Dylan Raduns, Kelvin Joseph, Jamar Johnson, Khalil Herbert, Aaron Banks, Noah Gray, Teron Jackson. It's a solid class. Obviously, you get the big play and exciting player in Waddle. I'm not sure how the fan base will react, given that they were so vehemently opposed to Jonathan Jones's Jamar Chase pick, which I found weird. I don't know how they'll react to Waddle, who's a lesser prospect.
Oh, I'm sure they would not be very thrilled.
I mean, I personally think the first scenario would be ideal for this team.
Agreed.
But let's just kind of end with this. Like, what do you think is like the most realistic scenario? Just at pick eight, we don't have to go through each of the picks.
I think the most realistic scenario is they are probably left with a selection of Sewell or moving out of that pick. And I think they'll go Sewell. That's where I see it ending up. The scenario that I think would be really interesting is, I think you can pencil Trey Lance in at number three to the 49ers. And so then where does Justin Fields go? If Justin Fields is on the board at eight, I think there's a lot of discussions in the background happening, some of which being led by Tepper is my guess on, you know, whether or not you want to double up on quarterback acquisitions for the offseason. And I am firmly in the ground of Sam Darnold does not fix the Panthers quarterback issue at long term. I don't think he's the guy that you want to really tie your franchise to. I get that he's 23. I get that he was ruined by Adam Gase and all those things. But even when he came out as a college prospect, I never really saw him as an elite quarterback prospect. I saw him as kind of like a lesser Brett Favre. He didn't have all the physical tools that Favre did, but he took all the risks that Favre did. And that was a concern for me. And I always thought his decision-making was a little shaky and suspect. So for me, if I can upgrade at that position with a guy who is better in the pocket that he's given credit for, but also has that hyper athleticism to really make things happen when everything breaks down, I'm taking that guy 10 times out of 10, to be honest.
So I agree with your sentiment there, but we do have some late breaking reporting. Again, this is the week of the draft, so you're going to hear all sorts of stuff. But I do think that this report, we should take it at face value, because it's from Brian Broaddus. He works for Cowboys.com, but he was like a scout for so many years, so he has like a ton of contacts. He says that Carolina is in love with J.C. Horn.
That does not surprise me at all, being that if you look at the guy in the GM seat, J.C. Horn has a real similar physical profile and probably a better athlete to a guy that played corner for a long time in Seattle. He does not have the football IQ of Richard Sherman, but he's that type of corner, but with plus athleticism over Richard Sherman. So it does not surprise me at all that they really like that kid a lot.
I mean, again, I saw Matt Rhule at his pro day. I know the corners coach was also, or one of the secondary coaches was there. I mean, this will be a bold pick. I mean, you know, Jalen Ramsey has been hyping him up. I wouldn't hate it. I really like, I mean, we traded back, obviously, but with some of the reporting now that Dallas really wants Horn or Surtain, I think that if they stay there at 8, I would not hate them, you know, taking J.C. Horn, because I think I saw someone else, I'm not sure where it came from, that they said that J.C. Horn to be the first defensive player drafted wouldn't be a surprise either.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. And whether it's at 8 or at 10, I don't think you see a defensive player drafted in the first 7 picks, which would be a little strange when looking at previous drafts.
I'm just saying, like, I think in my head, I think the most realistic scenario, I'll just start with the pick number. I'll start with pick 3. I think that they will take, I think they'll take Lance. I think just listening to what Schefter said today, how it's Trey Lance really sway their opinion. I think they'll eventually take Lance. I think at pick 4, I think Atlanta, I don't know what they're doing. If they're going to trade Julio, like, why would you draft Kyle Pitts? I don't really get that. Like, if you're going to rebuild, then you should just take a quarterback. But let's just, for this purpose, I think they'll go Pitts. I think 5 will be Chase. I think 6 will be Atlanta taking potentially, Miami taking either Waddle or Devontae. Probably they'll take Waddle in that scenario. And then 7, I think Detroit will take, maybe they trade back. But I think pick 7, someone's going to take Sewell. And then pick 8, I think Carolina, if they don't find a willing trade partner for someone who wants Justin Fields, then maybe they do go defensive players, Surtain or Horn.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I don't know if I would necessarily agree with it with Fields on the board still, but again, that's based on how I feel about Sam Darnold long term. Obviously, they made the trade for him, so they've got to have some level of confidence that he fits Joe Brady's offense and fits what Matt Rhule's trying to build and can really improve himself from what he's shown the last 2 years in New York. So I feel like if they pass on Fields and he was available, they're probably going to regret it 3-4 years down the road. That's just my personal belief. But Horn's a fantastic player, and I think you could do a lot worse than getting a player like J.C. Horn at pick 8.
Yeah, I'm certainly with you. So, I mean, it's going to be a pretty interesting draft. I think there's so much rumors swirling the air at this time of the year. So don't take everything you read with actual, like, fact. But I do think that this Horn report, it deserves some merit.
I agree.
Again, I want to thank Danny for coming on. John will be back to help us break down round 1 and night 2, which is going to be the second and third round. So we'll have all the coverage and kind of break down what direction Carolina goes in. But Danny, thanks again for joining.
Absolutely. It was a blast. Anytime. Had fun talking draft again with you, Billy. It's been, even as an observer, it's been kind of exhausting following the draft the last few months and leading up to it. So I can't imagine what it's like for the actual people in the building getting paid that their jobs are on the line on this. So while I am very excited that it's almost over, I'm going to enjoy the last few days, enjoy some smokescreen tweets, people tweeting anonymous sources and everything. So it'll be fun the next few days, but I am glad it's almost to an end.
Yeah, totally with you. So again, everyone, thank you again for joining, and we'll be back later this week to break down some of Carolina's draft picks. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day.